From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks right here at the Andersons in Champaign County. In agricultural news, leaders in Washington, D.C. are mulling the long-term impact of splitting food nutrition funding from the farm program legislation, and USDA says it will soon make a decision on how and if the export of DDGs should be reported more quickly. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget that we'll talk about the weather forecast, too. The guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, will be along to look at that as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures were lower in the wheat pit. July contract at 6.45¾. A settlement price down 2¾. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.78. The hard red at $6.76¾. Finished unchanged on the afternoon. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, 23¾¢. A big loss in the corn pit today at 6.55½ on the settlement price for the nearby contract. September at 5.31½. Half down 15¾, and December at 5.01¼, 9¾ lower. And the March contract, 5.13, down 8¾. May futures, 5.20¾, 8½ lower. And July corn, $5.28, down 7½ cents for the afternoon. Soybean futures finished the July contract up 6 cents at $15.70½. The August at 14.36¼, up 5¼. September futures a loss posted down 7 at $12.96¼. November beans at 12.43¼, down 8¾ for the day. The January futures at 12.49¼, down 7½. Bean meal down $5.50. Bean oil up 43 cents. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at 122.17½. That was 15 cents higher. October at 126.12½, up 45. August feeders 151.22½, $1.77½ higher for the day. And the September at 153.32½, up $1.72½. Lean hogs in the July at 101.7½. Finish down 20 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading $97.95 a barrel, $1.39 higher. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at 274¾. That's up 2¢. Ethanol trading at 241, down 4¢ on the afternoon. Natural gas at $3.57¹, $0.04 higher. And the diesel fuel at $2.87¹, $0.07 higher. Gold futures trading $12.55¹. That's up $32. And the U.S. dollar at 83.04 is down 0.09 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon should see 77 degrees outside for a high on the afternoon. A few thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy. Chance of precipitation set at 40%. Tonight, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 60. Chance of rainfall this evening set at 40% as well. And then for tomorrow, as we look into Tuesday, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 74 degrees. Tuesday night, a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, and 58. Wednesday, that 40% chance of rainfall and thunderstorms continue, partly sunny and 76 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and 61. On the July 4th holiday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Finally, sunny skies and a high of 79 and partly cloudy on Thursday evening with a low of 62. Friday, sunny skies and 82. Friday evening, a low of 66 and partly cloudy. By the time we get to Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 82. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the guys at Chesapeake Energy there in Chicago, Illinois, here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. It is the first day of July. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in Chicago?
Well, we started somewhat follow through from Friday's reaction there. Of course, new crop under pressure from favorable weather, acreage, and so forth. These corn found some support in the longer-term charge close to this $5 level. Same thing in November beans is $12.40 area or so. For the bull to make sure these levels kind of hold here. We're oversold due for some type of correction turnaround here on the short-term scale. But with the favorable weather, ideas to crops improving for the most part, other than a few areas still a little too wet. The bias is to the downside here. Old crop beans finished higher, a little bit more of a tighter situation there. We're still seeing some demand around for beans. Beans is pretty well fairly close to meeting their export projections. We still got a few more weeks to go before the end of the marketing year, and they're holding there a lot better than what the trade previously was looking at here a couple months ago. July corn up 10 to 11, 12 cents early in the day. Talk of some Chinese corn business taking place. But as we got into midday there, just kind of ran out of gas. The July D's corn spread ran out there to a new high move. And even though it sold off more in the back ends, the July did, that D's a July D spread still over $1.50, still higher than it was last summer there. So talk of liquidation, talk maybe a little weaker cash bids around. We'll have to watch to see what open interest did and who did what in the July here tomorrow. For the most part, it's just a liquidating contract. This last trading day in the July grains will be next Friday there, Todd.
Yeah, the July contract is moving through the 10, the 20, and the 100-day, and I guess kind of settled, not right on, but down near what the 50-day moving average. So I would suspect maybe a lot of trade that was triggered by the computers for the day?
Well, probably a little bit. The thing is, in the July, we're just kind of winding that contract down. There's only about 22,000 contracts open interest. We traded about 15,000 contracts versus 152,000 in the D's there. So it's not going to take very many buys or sells to move that July around.
Oh, just tell me it doesn't matter so much.
Just jump right in there. But technically, when you look at the July contract futures chart, we've been in an uptrend channel here ever since the April lows. The high we made here today was close to the upper end channel range there. Then, of course, we need to hold the next 5 to 10 cents here to keep it in that upward momentum. But it's a pretty nasty hook reversal down.
Mm-hmm.
The 91 was some targets, and we got to 90. So I imagine some recoveries if we get back to those lows going to be pretty well sold. But there was quite a bit of pickup producer selling for guys that did have a little cash corn left around.
Daryl Good today, early this morning, wrote in his weekly outlook he thought the trade was underestimating the yield potential for the crop, at least as it goes with the crop ratings that come out on Monday afternoon. And those will be important to watch. Do you think he's right?
Well, at this point, for the most part, we feel the crop's looking better every day. If things stay fairly well, I think the good to excellent category can go up in that mid-70s, good to excellent readings.
And mm-hmm.
In that case, some of these guys will tend to put a higher yield on it, yes. The big thing is the harvested acres. That's going to be the thing that's debated probably more than yield as we move along in here, is to figure out where we are, harvested acres from a prevent plant or just poles around and so forth. But this crop's looking fairly good. Even the wheat crop, talking guys cutting wheat, if this weather would cooperate, they're talking about one of the best soft red winter wheat crops we've seen in a long time. So overall, grain stocks, more production should be on the rise here until we see some type of, adverse weather pattern develop maybe later on in the growing season.
Yeah, the wheat has turned, and I suppose you're telling me some combines are running. What kind of yields are you hearing?
It varies. Most just want to say best wheat they've had a long time, but I've heard, 85 to 105.
Yeah.
So don't know about getting the double crop beans in if it stays wet in the south, east, or on the east. Guys were pretty anxious about trying to get some beans in. Now they're worried about getting the wheat out, so that could be an interesting thing to watch here as we move into late this week, first part next week.
Yeah, I talked about wheat last year and the drought, but of course wheat wasn't impacted nearly so much, if at all, by the drought, simply because it came in, and the wheat crop last year wasn't terribly bad, at least for the soft red winter wheat. Anything that we ought to talk about for the livestock?
Well, we're seeing hogs kind of run out of steam here. Hog and pig report didn't really show expansion. Mm-hmm. It's still, that number coming out, still questions about feed use for this next year. You can talk about maybe feeding a little heavier, but they're feeding about as much as they want to feed anyway. But the idea are that with the big run we've had, we might have seen a little bit of a top in the hog complex. Cattle, they continue to try to talk negative with, boy, we're going to have heat and demand's going to slip, but not this week. So we'll see what happens here as we go into 4th of July clearance in this cooler weather. But still feeling that the downside in the cattle here has been reached by the June contract is 118, and see if we can't move on up this 125, 126 level, Todd.
The livestock numbers in general across the board are a little bit higher than they were last year, I think, at this time. And that, I guess, implies that grain stocks, which aren't really that big, and usage was, about 60 million bushels more for feed, if you back figure it, in the grain stocks report in the last quarter. And they're going to have more coming up in this quarter.
Yeah, maybe rabbit feed or chicken feed or something to go. But feeders are looking strong here. And the idea is this, at least the corn market here could stay soft here for a while.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report right here on this Monday afternoon. In just a few moments, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be along with today's look at the agricultural news. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our ag programming posted not long after it airs on our radio stations.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, conservative groups are building momentum in their push to split the farm bill in the House. Groups such as the Heritage Foundation and Americans for Prosperity are trying to convince House leaders that dividing nutrition and farm programs in the bill is the best option for getting Republican reforms for farm programs and more cuts to nutrition programs. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas, a Republican from Oklahoma, says that the House is looking at the option of dividing the legislation. Lucas has repeatedly argued against that option, but he told a Oklahoma newspaper over the weekend that he would support the leadership if they go with splitting the bill. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is close to making a decision on whether to approve a proposed rule that requires weekly reporting of U.S. exports of dried distillers' grains. With the new rule, information on sales and shipments would be available within 2 weeks of the activity, more timely than the current 2-month lag in reports from the U.S. Bureau of Census. USDA says a final decision should come within 2 weeks. After the decision is made, USDA will need to publish it in the Federal Register. That may take a couple of more weeks, but once the rule is approved, it should be implemented possibly in August or September at the latest. A trio of federal lawmakers have asked the U.S. Government Accountability Office to examine the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's practice of entering into legal settlements with non-governmental organizations that ultimately lead to rulemaking on a wide variety of environmental statutes. The letter, signed by Representatives Fred Upton from Michigan, Ed Whitfield from Kentucky, and Tim Murphy from Pennsylvania, said that between 1995 and 2010, the U.S. Department of Justice represented EPA in about 2,500 cases, the majority involving the Clean Air Act. The congressmen are asking the GAO to identify what types of EPA rulemaking settlements or consent decrees are publicly accessible and open to public comment before being finalized. In addition, the lawmakers want to know how EPA and the DOJ seek public input before entering settlements or consent decrees that result in EPA rulemaking. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs and all of our programming, in fact, you can find online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, the month of June. It was a really wet one for corn. I'll have more on just how wet. Farmers around the Midwest know that it's been a slow, wet start to the growing season. Corn was planted very late, but now it's up and growing. The question, of course, is how has the weather and how will the weather affect it? Meteorologist Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago has been thinking about that issue, so he decided to see just how wet it's been since the crop was put in the ground.
95% of usual U.S. corn production has had near or above average rainfall over the last 30 days. We can look back to 2005, each year going all the way back to 2005, and that's the highest coverage of wet corn we've had within that period.
If, says Mike Tenora, a University of Illinois graduate, you take the other two very wet starts to the growing season, 2008 and 2010, then you find some interesting comparisons.
In 2008 and in 2010, the coverage of excessive wetness, which is the amount of corn that received at least twice its average rainfall for the month of June, was much higher, especially in 2010. So, depending on how you look at it, you could argue both ways that it's a little wet, it's a little too wet. But it looks like conditions as of this point in the growing season were much wetter to a problematic degree in 2010 compared to now.
During the 2010 growing season, when farmers harvested a 152.8 bushel to the acre corn crop, 29% of the Midwest was deluged by twice the amount of normal rainfall as usual over the same 30-day period Tenora has been exploring.
It's only 9% right now, so it's just way less, even though it has been raining. With this drier pattern coming up, I'm just starting to think things are going to be looking really good here pretty quickly.
Corn production totaled 12.4 billion bushels in 2010. The planted acreage was just 88.2 million. That's much lower than this year. The 2010 soybean production totaled 3.33 billion bushels, down only 1% from the record production set in 2009. The average soybean yield in 2010 is estimated at 43.5 bushels to the acre. for University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
On this Monday afternoon, time to check the cash grain market. On the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Amy Sage. Good afternoon to you, Amy. Well, tell me about the marketplace and what you have seen in it as we've made our way after this USDA report.
Yep, so we were kind of all over the place today. For a while, we weren't doing a whole heck of a lot, but as you can see on the close here, we sold off quite a bit in the corn market, and old beans have still been holding their strength, but new beans down again. Spreads have been going pretty haywire, had about a 25, 30 cent range in the July SEP corn spread again today, and same goes for the July August bean spread. So they've been just really back and forth here, trying to get a handle on what the true situation is on old crop stocks and on new crop acreage, I think, is the problem. So,
and will they be able to pull that off or not?
You know, I think it's going to be tough. Obviously, there's speculation that corn acreage number was a little bit high. The surveying those numbers prior to June 1st, it's probably hard to get a true handle on what that actually is. So we may not see that reflected until, September, October. But hopefully we can kind of get a better handle on it just if we have a resurvey or anything like that. So.
Darrell Good thinks that yield will be the biggest determiner as opposed to acreage at this point. Would you be of a mind that that's probably the case when you look out across, and locally it looks pretty good, but when you look out across the Midwest and what the crop looks like, at least per corn?
Sure. Well, absolutely. I mean, it's all going to come down to that final production number. So if yield makes up for an acreage loss due to wet planting, then it's all going to come down to our actual ending supply number. And right now, we're probably just going to look at weather. So.
And then come back to the July corn, that is, because it really did make quite a spectacular move, I think, today. You said the spreads are a little bit haywire. It's part of the expiration process. They're hunting down, I suppose, bushels and maybe people. Both, right?
Probably very correct about that.
Well, it happens. That's what happens. Do you think it will get more orderly as time goes? Or
probably not. I mean, maybe we will, maybe if we can kind of get caught up here. But usually when we're in delivery, that expiring month is pretty all over the place. So for exactly the reasons you said, got to get evened up on positions in delivery.
Yeah, getting even, that's the thing.
Yep. Oh.
What are your bids for the day?
Today we are paying $6.71 for cash corn, $4.88 across the scale for fall, $4.98 for fall of 2014. Cash soybeans today at $15.56. Fall beans across the scale, $12.26. Fall 2014 at $11.97. And new crop wheat's going to be $6.35 today, 20 under the SEP.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. She joins us on the closing market report on this Monday afternoon.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Ginger Snap Day. The cookie likely dates back to medieval times. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, Edward Jenner of Berkeley, England, conducted his first experiment with smallpox inoculation, showing that the cowpox virus provides immunity to smallpox. By the way, cowpox gets its name from cow maids touching the udders of infected cows. In 1860, Charles Goodyear died. He invented the process named vulcanization, which made the commercial use of rubber possible. Vulcanized rubber did not become brittle in winter, nor turn gummy in summer as natural rubber did, But Goodyear never profited by his invention. In 1901, the U.S. National Bureau of Standards was created. Its duties included testing and calibration of measuring scales. In 1910, Ward Baking Company of Chicago, Illinois, opened the first completely automated bread plant in the U.S. The dough and bread remained untouched by human hands until it exited the machine already wrapped. And in 1953, Cheese Whiz was introduced nationwide by Kraft. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Josh Darr is on the phone line from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He'll help us take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Josh. How are you today?
Oh, great, Todd. How are you doing today?
I am good. What magnificent weather, or at least temperatures, we're having for the month of July and the end and closeout of June.
Yeah, sitting here just looking at some readings on the hour, it looks like upper 70s in Rockford, near 80 around just north of Springfield. Just picture-perfect weather from the temperature standpoint. We do have an area of low pressure, which is pinwheeling across the southern part of the state. It's actually a cutoff area of low pressure, which is pretty unusual for this time of year. Usually you see cutoff lows in the spring or in the autumn, but we have a pretty amplified jet stream with all the record heat that are catching the headlines out in Las Vegas and the Intermountain West. We have this low-pressure system, which is moving southwest here in Illinois, bringing some rain showers to the south part of the state. That'll predominantly bring just light scattered showers to southern Illinois today into tomorrow. And then we open a stretch of very nice weather top to bottom across Illinois and across a good chunk of the Midwest, particularly Western Belt, where we have open weather slightly below normal temperatures for this time of year, and that lasts basically through the weekend. So it's a very benign stretch of weather, if you will, which is a far cry from a year ago at this juncture of the season.
Your assessment there of how the growing season has progressed so far, I know wet to begin with, but really the crops, according to the crop numbers that come out on Monday afternoon, don't look terribly bad.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at growing degree days today, and whether you measure them from May 1st or May 15th or June 1st, depending on when you're able to plant, you know, growing degree days are running right on average for this time of year from either any of those start dates. So, you know, temperatures have been dead on normal so far this growing season. You know, any wetness that was precluding some acres up in northeastern Iowa, you know, southeastern Minnesota, and the bulk of the rest of the belt's been in a pretty normal precipitation regime, too. So sitting here on July 1st, tell you what, it's a far cry from the past couple seasons where you could see major glaring issues maybe in the coming ahead. And things are in good shape right now.
Yeah, there were places, parts of western Illinois, the upper northern part of Missouri, maybe southern Iowa along with it, that seemed like they just couldn't not catch a rain at one point, and they stayed really behind. Are they drying out?
They have, you know, we had those big rains in the around June 21st to 25th. So any dry pockets generally picked up some pretty good rains, and for the east and western Corn Belt as a whole, we were running a pretty good deficit through the first two-thirds of June. Then we brought those rains in June 21st, 25th, made up the deficit. And so it's been a little bit wetter than normal in the Eastern Belt. We needed that after the drier spring in Indiana, Ohio. Western Corn Belt, as the month of the whole June went in the books, pretty normal precipitation profile. So by and large, sitting here pretty nicely on July 1st.
Take a look at the rest of the growing regions around the planet for me.
Sure. China's in good shape. They're a pretty active pattern here the next 2 weeks, so no issues there. Europe is turning drier and warmer, which is needed after a very wet and cool spring and early summer there. There's some dryness lurking in Kazakhstan as well as in Western Australia, but right now those are wait and sees. Those aren't major glaring issues. So global sector, pretty quiet, Todd.
Okay, thanks so much, Josh.
All right, have a good afternoon.
You too. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Have a great afternoon. If you get the chance, visit us online at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.